Amen, amen. We're on. Good. Thank you, Pastor Chris. Thank you for your welcome back. It is really good to be back, and we can say we are home when we get back together with the family of God and in this wonderful facility. You know, I can say that we are truly home, and we are a blessed people. Amen. And so it is good to be back, and thank you again, as my wife said, for your support and your prayer and your love and your thoughts that we were constantly aware of. And so it was really good, and we knew that yous were with us. And as we just travelled around this amazing country of ours, now you just can't help but marvel how contrasting the land is, and everywhere you go you see the God's creation. It's just amazing, you know, the countryside and the rock formations, the plains and everything about it, the bird life, the plant life and the animals that you do. Did not see one kangaroo in Australia, would you believe? Travel over 6,000 kilometres and we didn't see one kangaroo. So I'll have to go up the farm and see a kangaroo up at Ross's place or something. But as I said, you know, it's just a land of contrast, and you can really, when the great poem of Banjo Patterson's, you know, about what a diversity this country is, and the changing landscape, you know, one beautiful scene comes before you and only to be outdone by another, a beautiful scene as you just go over another hill and you just see as far as the eye can see all that God has laid out there for us. And you see vast growing cereal areas and properties with cattle and sheep in big numbers, and just farmland and producing kind all food for all kind of all kinds, you know, just to satisfy a hungry world. And the rock formations, as I said, and the lush vegetation. I couldn't believe how green the country is. And they've had good rain that's come right across from West Australia right through there. So it's really looking magnificent, as I see it anyway. And but it's just wonderful. But you see all this lush vegetation and wildflowers, and they're all showing their God-given splendour. You know, they're all reaching out and they're starting to bud, and some plants are full of life and flowering, and with the rain there's all little wildflowers all coming up, and they're all starting to shoot up and shoot their flowers out. So it's just a wonderful thing. All these rolling, open, endless plains, they just seem to touch the sky. And you say you go up to Alice Springs. You'd go up to Alice Springs. Did you feel that, Tian, when you went up? It seemed to be going up. I thought we're going into heaven. I was going to get there soon, and I thought we would. But you just seem to be climbing all the way. But it was good coming back. We got to think we travel a bit faster coming back. But that was really good. But as you travel around, you go through towns, both large and small. You know, some prosper, and while other towns are in despair and disrepair too. But in many places, you know, there just seems to be an awesome or a great heaviness because of depression and a real sense of no ownership where they live. And that's really sad to see. And many people are greatly discouraged as you move around and see. But what you see is, in most cases, you know, a great pride is taken in their towns, and they just want to show their towns off. And there's some beautiful little towns you go through, great, good, larger towns. But you see that if you travel through that the pride and care is taken in some, while others towns, the smaller towns, they just seem to have lost interest and discouraged with the way their towns are just slowly dying a slow death. And probably in their past, you know, they were great little towns and full of life and hub of activity. But you just see now through the modern times that there's a real decline in a lot of these beautiful little country towns and places. And there, but as I said, we travelled through all this country, and which was lush green, as I said, and wild. You know, there were other parts that just cried out for rain, and you said just seeing the dryness and the stunted growth, just waiting for something to happen and take place. But as we moved around, both Pat and myself, we couldn't help but think, you know, and feel, you know, this is what our nation is all about, a dry, thirsty land. And you see that in people's lives, that we know, even in our own communities, a lot of people just wander around aimlessly. And you see that so much in some of these Central Australian places, and because of the culture and the population there, that they just wander around, no aim in life, and it's so sad, and how they're distracted by the things that the white man has brought in, and just completely changed the whole way that the culture, the indigenous culture, lives. And I was talking to someone, and particularly around in Coober Pedy, it's an amazing place. Most of the population live underground there, and you may have seen on some of the photos, the churches are underground, and they're just magnificent places. And the way that people live underground and exist in that place, because in the summertime the temperature soars up around about 55 degrees, and so, you know, they've got to get out of the heat and that. But just amazing to see, and the churches there, and the churches there are open 24 hours a day. For the tourist population, tourists can go in any time and have a look at these magnificent underground churches. And the Church of England Church, a catacomb church, that is underground, and that's just a wonderful place too. And we stayed on their property, and we're very grateful for that. And but there's also a Serbian church, and that's a massive, it's like a cathedral inside, and it's very ornamental because of their religious culture. But it's just a magnificent thing, and the way they honour God, and there's born again believers amongst them. But Coober Pedy is just a place from nationalities and cultures from all over the world that have come there to seek this treasure, opal and gemstones. And I just admire their persistence, and it's a real lesson for us and the things of God. If we persist, we, you know, we will strike it rich in the things of gold. Amen. And we don't have to strive too hard, because God has made it so easy for us. But it's a great example, the way these miners just get in there, and they bore a hole in the side of a hill, and then they start getting in there, and they just chip away by hand. You know, if they get onto a seam or opal, they don't want to damage it, so they chip away at it very careful, just to extract this opal. And I've seen on one of the displays, there's a piece of opal probably about this big, and it was it had a price tag of $260,000 on it. So you can see the value, why they persist. And a guy came around our caravan one night and just sharing with us. And he was a miner, and a real great man of God and great faith. And but he was feeling a little bit discouraged, because he's everyone has a lease, he's got his lease and work, and he found one good stone that yielded him good value. It was worth a lot of money, a black opal. And so this chap, he's been working away, but he's just getting little pockets, and he's not really getting onto a real good seam of opal. But next door, he's got this these guys, they're three brothers, Italian brothers, and they are making millions. They've got onto a huge seam of opal, and over the last 4 or 5 years, they've extracted over $3 million worth of opal. And so Michael, he's getting a little bit discouraged, and he's, you know, going through it all, and he says, you know, why do the unrighteous prosper? And he's just started to pour out his heart, you know. He said, Lord, I'm working for you, I'm working for myself, I'm trying to make ends meet, and I want to help others in the kingdom. And he seems that sort of person. He supports a lot of people and missionaries around the world. And he said, Lord, I want a bit of this too. You know, then I can give back into the kingdom. I can sow back. But so we were able to encourage Michael, you know, to really keep going and persist and to strengthen him and build him up in his faith. And you give me signs and wonders. Yeah, and so Michael having a bit of a struggle, and we had some of the David McCracken's, what is it again, Empowering Victorious Living, all that. Anyway, we gave Michael one of these books, and we seen him at the end of the week, and he said, look, thanks for that. It has helped me so much as I read it, and I just see how rich I am. Without all this added wealth, you know, he said, I've got everything I need. But he said, you know, it'd still be good to help others. but Michael was greatly encouraged. I shouldn't have mentioned his name, but I did. But anyway, but it was, that's just one of those times. He just come knocking on the door one night, and he said, I made an inquiry about someone I wanted to catch up with, and he said, I know that guy. I met him up at Mintabo or somewhere on the opal field. And he said, I ministered with him on a few of the Aboriginal outreaches. And so he brought this phone number around. But it was about this a guy in Coober Pedy who's been really in Alice Springs, rather, a pastor there who I'd met many years ago when we were ministering in Western Australia, and hadn't seen this fellow for about 12 years. The last time I seen him was here in this church 12, 14 years ago. 16. How many? 16. 16. So, yeah, 16 years ago, him and his wife shared at a combined study night or something one night. But that was the last time I've seen him. But I read got the phone number, and I rang him up, and he just about jumped out over the phone. And so we arranged to meet him in the shopping plaza, and we met him and his wife. He said, I'll come around Sunday night and for a meal. So we came around, and we done that. But he's a pastor, and he's raised up quite a few Aboriginal outreaches around Alice Springs, but just recently they had to leave the building they were holding their meetings in, and so now they have no venue, and they've started to scatter. The clans started to go all over the place, and there's only a remnant of them meeting together every Sunday night. So he's been going through a really desolate, dry time. And so, as I said, Terry invited us around to share a meal, and he rounded up a few of his people, and for a night of fellowship, a meal and fellowship and worship and sharing around the Word of God. And so we just had an awesome night. He's a great worshiper. He's got a 12-string guitar, and he just sits back on a chair, and he gets lost, and everyone just sings along. But they just have a wow of a time in the things of God, and just, you know, just experience the presence of the Holy Spirit in their midst. And it was just an awesome time. But we're able to be a part of all that. And at the end of the night, I shared a short message, a word, and I prayed over every person who was there. And there was even one lady who was asleep. I even prayed over her while she was asleep too. But so I just trust there that the Spirit of God just entered in and touched that woman. But, you know, they just need the presence and the power of God in their lives so much, because they just seem to, it's so easy for them to just transgress back into the old ways, where we have this constant fellowship, constantly coming together, constantly encouraged. We're built up and edified in the things of God so much. But as I prayed and for them, I just felt God was going to do a good thing in their midst. And so I prayed for the pastor there, and what I believe that the Lord was showing me. And I prayed and spoke that over Terry's life. And we're travelling along on the Tuesday morning, I think, and down near Iralduna somewhere, we got a text message, and it said, I'll read out, it said, "Hi, John. I'm out on the hill seeking God." That was a positive thing. Here's this guy. He's really feeling bad about himself. He felt that he'd failed in himself. He failed God. He's failed his people. They got nowhere to meet. Just coming together in their home on a Sunday night. And, but he sent this text message. He said, "I'm out on a hill seeking God." So that was a great positive thing. He said, "Since you encouraged me and prayed over me, God is telling me it's time to get back into action and to take hold of everything he has purposed for me, to take back everything that's been taken away and reclaim the land that the enemies invaded, and start rebuilding with vision and purpose. God bless your ministry and keep in touch." And so I was greatly encouraged myself, but I was greatly encouraged that we were able to encourage him, that he was starting to fire up again in the things of God. And that's what the Christian life is all about, that we encourage one another, that we admonish one another in the things of the Lord in a good way. And we can do that so well and so easily. But that's what our ministry, we see as we go about encouraging people in these churches and other places who aren't as fortunate as we are, and who they really do it hard and tough. And you've seen on a few of those photos there where we're that family in their backyard. That's their church. That's their church. They meet around a fire every Sunday night, have a bit of a meal, cook some kangaroo tail or something on the fire, a bit of kangaroo, and they have a meal. And but they get there singing, strumming guitars and with their music sticks, and they just praise and worship God. And that song, what was the last one we sang? Happy Day. They love that, love it, and they sing it a lot. But, you know, they just love God, these people. And so we just need to be continually praying, uplifting these outback churches and churches who aren't as fortunate as we are. And that, you know, to when these times of dryness and discouragement come upon us. I mean, we go through that ourselves, don't we? But they're the times that we just really have to stand up and stand and not let the enemy fill our heads and with, you know, full of lies and deception, because that's all the enemy wants to do. The devil will never encourage you one bit, not once will the enemy give you any encouragement, only in doing the wrong thing. He'll encourage you to do that and to walk away from the things of God. But so, you know, we have to make a stand, don't we? And just make a declaration to cry out to God and to claim that though I walk through the shadows, you know, I won't fear. We're not going to be frightened. We're going to stand strong. And in these times that, you know, I won't be shaken because God is with me. as we walk through the valley and the shadows, and that we're not going to be consumed, are we? Because we are a strong power, and God is our strong tower, and Him we trust. As I said, as we went up through the centre, and we just experienced in several churches, there was hard ground. Hard ground. They were doing it tough and sowing seed into places which was, being taken away. The word that they were saying was being taken away, and because of the other influences, because those who don't know Christ, those who don't know Jesus, were continually dragging them away from, this joy and the zeal that they'd found them. But as we said this morning, all the churches that we visited, they deeply appreciated the ministry that took place, and they just couldn't believe that we would come there and preach on the Sunday, but not only that, we would stay there for at least a full week and to share with them and their churches, and just to share their burdens and just constantly encourage them in the things of God. But there we go for time today. Good. Okay. This morning I just want to share and speak about, I've spoken about it many times, about sowing seed. And because of my background and that, it's close to me, but it's close to everyone here, because you're all men and women of God, you're children of God, and the sowing's the principle should be close to your heart. That's speaking the word of God into people. And we hear the word seed used a lot, because that was the tool that Jesus used. He used the circumstances, the situations around him. He's probably walking down the road with people following him. He said, look at that field, it's ripe, it's ready for the harvest. And we look out into our streets here and we can see just people, and we say that, they're ready for the picking, they need God in their life. That's how we just have to see. We have to see that seed is important. Seed is important, the word of God. And to see this seed that God has given us, the word that we speak, that if we want to make a difference in our church, in our community, we have to have that confidence to be able to speak out in the name of Jesus, don't we? And to claim, the word of God, that people will be saved, that the word that you speak will take root into someone's life and their lives will be changed forever. And so we see that. And the farmer particularly, a seed is precious to a farmer. It's precious because seed is costly. It's costly. Seed is his future, and seed is his income, and seed is livelihood. That's all the farmer sees, particularly a cereal farmer, the seed. Now, that's what I do to get. I sow seed to get seed. And so that's what we should be doing. We should be sowing the word of God into people's lives, that as we speak the word, people will take hold of that, and we'll see that reproduction of the seed in the form of people come into this church, come into other churches, but most of all into the kingdom of God. And we want to see the kingdom of God grow in every way, every day. Amen. But again this morning, I just want to remind us to keep sowing, even when it seems difficult and fruitless. And as I mentioned before, in some of these places we went with, you would probably think in our own minds, why do they do that? Why don't they just pack up and go home? But they're there because the Spirit of God is on them, and they feel that's what we're being called here, to preach the Word of God and to sow into the kingdom in that way. And so that they endure the things that come upon them, and in the hard places. And we know that plant life, things grow in some of the most amazing places, don't they? You see on Facebook and on YouTube and all that stuff and TV how you see a plant growing out of this rocky mountain, you know, nothing else on it, and you see this one little tree or tree roots just coming out of rock formation in the most amazing places where you would think nothing would ever grow. And that's how it is in the kingdom of God. If, you know, we'll look and think sometimes it'll never happen there, but a man of little faith, aren't we? And we have to just see that no matter how hard the ground is, how hard a surface is, how hard a person's life is, God can crack that. God can do that so Jesus, he just spoke about, you know, what it's like about sowing seed in the hard places, and he just said about, you know, the places it would fall and how it would be taken away. But... I just want to say, I don't know about you, but I thank God all the time that Jesus Christ sows into places that are not very likely to produce good fruit. Amen? Christ sows into those places where we think nothing will grow. And that happened in all our hearts. Because once we were hard soiled people, weren't we? We resisted the word of God. Many people, they just straight away, but a lot of us had hard hearts. I know myself, and a time that I sort of, not hardened up, but resisted the things of what God wanted me until I was challenged and had to think. But we all know that in amongst all this, you know, something happened. Somehow a seed got past the devil's notice. Amen? So we have to see that. You see what I'm saying about sowing seed in hard places? As I said, the enemy is just wanting to put up every resistance to the things of God. But in your heart, in my heart, that seed got past the devil's notice. Amen. And to tell you that today you're a part of God's kingdom, and we can say we're saved. We're in a safe place. But we just have to look at the principle of God, you know, that we have to take every opportunity. Even Jesus said when he fed the multitude, he spoke about the basket of fragments, didn't he? You know, the leftovers from the feeding of the multitude. And that's what we have to get, a lot of these leftovers, the fragmenting, hurting people that we just don't need to touch so much. But Jesus said, take up the fragments that nothing be lost. And God doesn't want to see anyone lost. We don't want to see anyone's life be shattered and everything taken away. And God just wants to gather up a fragmenting and hurting people. And that's all he's asking us to do, that we'll be gatherers in that sense, that we'll be gathering the people and touching, that we will be prepared to walk amongst the rocky ground, and even if the thorns do scratch and prickle us. Just this morning, even in us, you know, there are times when God sows seeds into our heart only to reveal, you know, that our heart is too stony to receive it. Even though we can be born again, full on Christian for God, there are times when God wants to speak to us, you know, we just won't let that word enter in, or we won't receive it. We have to always be well aware of that, you know, we need to let God in. We don't want to put up a resistance and a barrier, but we do that. We just have to see, or we don't need to freak out, because seed doesn't take a root right away, does it? We plant the day and you can't reap tomorrow. We know that. But in the things of God, you know, so the sowing of the word is about getting. We sow to get. In that sense, we do. We sow to get. We sow to get souls for Jesus Christ, people for Christ. Amen. And we sow to what you want to have, not what we already have. We appreciate that, but we're sowing to get more, aren't we? There's always more. And so we sow into the kingdom. We sow into God's people. We sow into an unsaved community, and we go to places where we look for that opportunity to reach out to God. And I just appreciate that so much, being away and just being able to mixed with a lot of people and caravan parks and places, and people ask you what you do. I've said this before, so I tell them what we do. Oh, one guy said, what's the sign on the back of your van? He said, what church is that? So a good opportunity to be able to tell him, we're Grow Church. We're a Pentecostal church in the heart of St. Albans in Melbourne. And we just love God, and we're a part of what we're doing now. We go about ministering to churches in country towns and in the outback. Oh, good, mate. And so mate gets talking and just being able to share. But no, God gives us so many opportunities to be able to do that. So it's great. It's a tremendous opportunity just to be able to share things. Don't hold back. If people ask you what you do, tell them, you know, you go to church on Sunday. That's a part of my life. We do that. So we have opportunities to testify. Do that. You know, if we're prepared to sow, but you can expect to reap. You know, we have to take a step of faith, don't we? Just to speak there. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 6, it says, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening let not your hands be idle. For you do not know which will succeed, whether this or whether both will do equally well. So, you know, again, I just encourage you to sow the word of God wherever you go, scatter good seed, and to help the kingdom of God grow in every way. And don't let deceit or the enemy come in and cause you to lose heart. And because in the word of God says, we shall reap if we don't faint. If we get lazy and slothful, well, nothing will ever happen, will it? And that's why it says, you know, we shall reap. It's a promise there. We shall reap if we do not faint. So God wants us to be strong and vital and in all our efforts and outreaches. And we just don't want to go to the places where we know, oh, it'll be easy here, it'll be an easy target. God wants us to go into the hard places and to do that. So don't let beware of discouragement and or the voice that says sowing is useless, because sowing the word of God is not. Because God's promise is, as you sow, he says, that word will not return void. The word that I give you, the word that you speak into someone's life, that will somehow, it's through the Spirit of God, will bring a great change into people's lives. So I think I should close this morning, but there I'd had a lot more to say, and I've just sort of skimmed through what I wanted to say this morning. But as I said, you know, sow what you want to reap, and that's people, isn't it? Sow what you want to reap. We're not going out there for any other reason other than to get people into the kingdom of God. Amen. Don't let the enemy in there. Sow what you want to reap. If you want souls, then sow the word. Amen. Sow the word. So Father God, we just give you all the praise and glory. We thank you, Lord, that you are the God who sees, oh Lord, you know all. And we just thank you that you lead us, you guide us, you continue to show us your ways. Lord, you have equipped us, Father, you have given us so much. We just pray, Father, I pray right now for every person here this day, Father. Lord, that your spirit will be continuing upon them, Father. Lord, you will enrich their lives as they grow in you, Father. But out of this growing, Father, there'll be a real sense of a desire that burns deep within, Father, that they will want to see more people come into your kingdom. So, Lord, as they have this, that churns within them, Father, Lord, that will come to fruition, Father God. Lord, that they will bring people to know Jesus and to make that difference, Father, Lord, and have that confidence to reach out, Lord, for you at every opportunity. So, Father, we give you all the praise and glory. And again, Lord, for this day, for this opportunity, Lord, that you bring your people together. And we can say, oh, how good it is when brethren dwell together. So, Lord, we thank you for your presence upon us. You thank you for your presence with it, Lord. We thank you for your spirit that dwells within us, Lord. And, Lord, we can enjoy your presence so much. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen.